Welcome to City Minutes. I'm Andrew Carter, and today I'm joined by Kanishka Narayan, an associate of the Centre for Cities, to introduce his new report for the Centre called Household Debt and Problem Debt in British Cities. Welcome, Kanishka.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Glad to be here.
So let's start with why the focus on debt. Why is it important? What don't we understand, or what do we understand when we think about debt, particularly at the city and town level?
Yeah. I think debt really matters in normal times, but it especially matters in downturns like right now. And it matters for three reasons, Andrew. I think the first reason is looking at debt can tell us a lot about spending patterns and economic performance. And so we know historically that places with the highest debt were often the places that cut their spending the most and were the slowest to come out of recessions. So it matters to tell us where the economy will go. It matters secondly because the Bank of England really cares about it. If you look at consumer credit on banks' balance sheets, it's only about 7% of lending, but in downturns, it's 40% and more of losses. So when the bank has looked at coronavirus right now, the thing it's most worried about in bank balance sheet terms is household debt. It's about 44% of likely losses. But the third thing is it really matters for individual vulnerability and what how households experience at the local level. If you're highly indebted and you can't pay back in a downturn, that can lead to bankruptcy, that can lead to court judgments, the kinds of financial distress that government's very keen to avoid. So I think it matters for those three reasons: spending, financial stability, and vulnerability. And it matters especially because the pattern of debt is very geography specific.
And the research so far on debt tends not to really go down into that kind of smaller geography, looking at households within particular cities or towns. Is that right?
That's exactly right. I think at the moment, the data we have is very much at the national and aggregate level. And I think this is one of the first instances where we've been able to go far more locally and look at a couple of different aspects of debt.
Brilliant. So let's start off then, given that you've done the work. The first issue is, which cities and towns have the highest level of household debt relative to their incomes? What do we now know about that pattern?
Yeah. I think there's an overarching pattern. The overarching pattern is that cities in the north and cities in Wales are most indebted relative to income. And so if you look at Warrington or Swansea or Sunderland, you find that actually the level of debt to income is about 21%. So that's £1 in every £5 of income. When you look by contrast at Oxford or Cambridge or Exeter, you find that's far lower. It's about 7% or so in lots of cases, about 35p in every £5. And so you find this threefold increase the further north you go or the more you go into Wales in the level of debt.
You're, at pains to kind of stress in the report, which is absolutely right. The debt itself is not a particular problem. We shouldn't necessarily worry about debt. Actually, it's about the ability to service or to repay that. So you then go into more detail and we look at issues in relation to problem debt. So just clarify what you think about in terms of problem debt, how we get at that issue. And then again, we'll talk about the geographical patterns and the implications of that.
Brilliant. So problem debt in the report is defined as instances where individuals are unable to pay back their debt repayments. And one way to think about it is when you can't pay your debt several times in a row, you often get taken to court. Ultimately, you might end up filing for insolvency. And so those are really acute instances of financial distress and of problem debt getting really bad. And so what the report does is looks at the patterns of county court judgments and later insolvencies to try and understand where problem debt is particularly focused.
Okay, so that's how we think about problem debt. Let's just talk a little bit about when we look now at problem debt, where do we see this a bigger problem? Which towns and which cities across the country?
So I think the big message here is that problem debt is also very focused in areas where debt is high. Again, the North and Wales do particularly badly on this measure. And so you find that Liverpool and Hull and Ipswich in some parts, but also Newport and Cardiff do far worse than Cambridge again. Cambridge is about a third of the level of county court judgments that a Liverpool or a Hull has. And so what you find is this pattern where debt is highest in the North. Those are also, and Wales, those are also places with often the lowest pay and highest welfare. And now you look at problem debt and you find that problem debt is especially high in these areas too.
And so obviously we were doing the work in before the pandemic it actually kicked off. But we'll get to what we think some of the implications for how we respond to the pandemic in the second. But you also did some work then looking at how we might explain the patterns of problem debt, you know, since these weaker cities, you know, having more instances and connecting it to other issues around wage growth and productivity. So just say a little bit more about how those relationships work.
Totally. So debt is one part of the overall household budget. And what the debt report said was that cities in the north, when you're thinking about how to help Blackburn or Burnley through the crisis, you've got to think about debt. The big picture is that extends more widely. So when you think about instances of pay, when you think about where welfare is most acute, and so we need to really make sure universal credit payments go out in time and people can receive them in time, or that local support helps them, focus on the income side of the household budget is most acute in cities in the north and ought to be most acute in cities in Wales. When you look at the expenditure side, there things look a bit different, especially on housing. I think housing-related expenses are often very focused and very acute in cities in the south, where we know housing challenges can be very significant relative to income. And so you see this very diverse picture in what is the most acute problem for household budgets among cities in the north, cities in Wales, versus cities in the south of England.
And really, we're talking about a situation which is about, you know, how resilient households are to deal with changing circumstances in relation to either expenditure, as you say, or income on the other. And what we definitely know, you know, in the current crisis, as a result of the pandemic and then the subsequent lockdown, is that incomes have been, you know, addressed or tackled or challenged because of the decisions we've made rightly. So just say a little bit about how you think then the pandemic is playing out for different households, particularly those with more challenging problematic debt.
Totally. So I think the two things that I think we need to be thinking about, especially one in the short term and one for immediately what happens post-lockdown. The short-term issue is that there are lots of households across the country which rely on debt to get over temporary squeeze on their finances and will be doing so right now. I think for them, we can tell that if you've got a court judgment, you can't do that through mainstream borrowers. You've often got to go to subprime borrowers. That's one finding in the report. And so right now, a big question is, where are the most vulnerable households able to get over their temporary squeeze on budgets? Is the government stepping in through prompt universal credit payments, through local hardship fund support in time? Or are people going to subprime lenders, and so we should be lining up far better debt management and debt advice support for them? I think that's one big part of it. I think the medium-term question, as soon as we come out of lockdown, is what happens to the backlog of debt? You will find there are a number of people, especially the most vulnerable households, which have relied on debt and which will have had payment freezes in this period, but will need to pay those debts back post-lockdown. And in the event of not doing so, court judgments will keep going up even more. And so a big policy question is, what do we do? And we've got to start thinking now, what do we do to make sure that that's not the case and that you don't find a huge deterioration in credit scores and a huge expansion in court judgments?
And what's your sense that, you know, sense of you've begun to sort of set out a little bit about, you know, what we would want to see change, particularly as it relates to the issues in relation to managing problem debt. Where are we in relation to the kind of policy agenda on that, and what more would we want to be seeing? And then I suppose the other issue is, you know, as we come out of the pandemic, there's obviously connections to the ability to people to come back into work, to, you know, to raise their incomes in some respect, either in the job that they are currently in or actually to move to another job. So you just your final thoughts on that.
Great. So I think a lot of this, as you precisely point out, is on the income side. And so that's about kind of economic performance more universally. But I think there are three things that we can do on the debt-specific side of it. I think there's a first short-term thing to do, and that's twofold. We need to make sure that people who are applying for universal credit, the waiting time for that is reduced to the extent possible. You know, we still hear lots of anecdotes of people struggling to be able to get universal credit payments in time. I think that's a big part of it. I think the second part of it is supporting the nonprofit sector. Unfortunately, a lot of the support in this area is very fragmented. Citizens Advice and Step Change, charities like that have been helpful, but the landscape is very fragmented. And so if you're in a city leadership position or if you're in a local council, a big question is, how can you corral the entire debt management and debt advice sector to make sure you're helping people in time and consistently? I think then we've got to think about the medium-term question. And there, the question is, what are we doing to make sure credit scores aren't getting completely hammered over the course of this period? What does the future court regime look like? The court judgment against people in debt have gone up by 126% in the last 6 years. It just feels to me that when you've got almost 500,000 cases coming through the courts for debts as little as £500, we need to do something about that. So we need to rethink the court system. And I think the long-term thing, precisely as you point out, Andrew, is all about local economic performance and the work that you've all done in the center of cities. What can we do to make sure Blackburn, Burnley, Hull perform far better economically than they historically have?
Fantastic. My thanks to Kanishka. You can read the full report and all the accompanying analysis and commentary on our website, centerforcities.org. Kanishka, thanks very much for being on City Minutes.
Thank you very much, Andrew.